This is Neil Adams, and you've reached the higher level of Nerdvana.
Ladies and gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast.
Robo fucking cop.
As far as I'm concerned, Bruce Willis can go get a bag of dicks. Get off my shit.
Confessions of a Movie Snob.com.
Ladies, gentlemen, trees and multiforms, welcome to the podcast. I am Aaron, and welcome to yet another edition of a lost episode of Confessions of a Movie Snob. Unfortunately, these things are far too common for my preference, but I guess it's good we have something there for the week so we cannot record. This week, Ethan is just fresh off a move, and everything's crazy and all kinds of stuff, so we decided we just wanted to throw this one out. This one's an especially interesting one to me. This is an episode that we recorded with back in, May of 2012. This is the week after the release of Marvel's The Avengers. We had on our buddy of the show, Ed Douglas. He is our resident comic book friend. We have him on. I met him through comic book circumstances, and it only seemed appropriate to have him on for this show, where we're going to be talking about our favorite of the Marvel movies. So, as with all the lost episodes, you're going to be joining us already in progress.
And like we said in the intro, we are bringing back in friend of the show, Ed Douglas, because he is our resident guy that knows about comic book movies. He's done our show a few times before. Oh, with the one exception of documentary films, we've always kind of talked comic books. We opened up with a discussion about film criticism and Green Lantern, as well as we just did our favorite comic book movies ever made. So what we decided to do is The Avengers, Ethan. It opened pretty well this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So what we decided to do is we just wanted to honor Marvel because they've been doing a pretty good job at making these movies. And The Avengers, it's a victory lap. It's them doing what they do best. And, you know, it's not going to change the world or anything like that. But, you know, it's a fun movie. So we decided we're just going to talk about what our favorite Marvel movies are. Just in order. And we're not going to, you know, do it down to Marvel Studios. If we want to throw in a Fox movie or an animated movie or Lionsgate or Howard the Duck or whatever, it's entirely up to us. But how did you approach this movie, Ethan? And I know you're our, I don't know what Ed's preferences are, but I do know that you are more a Marvel guy than a DC guy.
Oh, most certainly, yes. I sort of looked at this list, and I actually made a list of all the Marvel movies I've seen, which is quite a bit. And I included the direct-to-DVD animated movies, that sort of thing, just to throw some variety in. So I just basically listed them out and started ranking them at that point and sort of moving things up, ones I wanted to talk about, ones I didn't want to talk about, and then ones that I think did a good job of sort of doing what Marvel does best.
Isn't very nice. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute, no, that's Wolverine. Wait,
no. And that's give you some interesting characters with some good conflict and you know, bring that to the screen, bring what makes Marvel Comics awesome to movies, you know.
Very good. Ed, did you put this kind of thought into it or just kind of throw down a list or?
Well, I haven't seen any of the direct-to-DVD movies, the animated movies.
Sure.
I mean, if I have, none of them really stuck with me. So the one really, I think I kind of went mainly for live-action movies.
Sure.
I think most of them are Marvel movies, but I do have other ones in there as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe one or two surprises.
Now, do you particularly have a preference of Marvel or DC, or are you just kind of whatever's good?
Mm-hmm. I think I've kind of read Marvel more consistently, and I know Marvel comics more. These days, I don't know if you guys know, you know, the New 52, DC kind of rebooted their entire
line. Oh, yeah. Well,
and I've really been kind of reading those quite a bit, so I'm actually kind of shifting over more DC just because they're, I don't know, I kind of like what they're doing there, and it's just kind of easier to get into what they're doing now. Mm-hmm.
I haven't read much of it. I read some of the Batman stuff, and I like that. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm probably first and foremost more of a DC guy. It's mainly because of Batman, but I do really like the longer history and just kind of like the reverence that, you know, we as society, you know, holds for these some characters. I mean, if somebody's really strong, we call him a Superman. We don't call him a Wolverine and, you know, just stuff like that. But, you know, with the reboot, that might be going away, but I always think they're going to go back to, you know, they're going to do away with this reboot. Mm. But, like I will, like to point out to people, like, just because I prefer DC doesn't mean that I do not like Marvel. I don't draw a line in the sand. That's not how I work. A comic book movie, a good comic book movie is a good movie. And I'm not going to say, well, just Stan Lee drew it, so it's, or wrote it, so it sucks. No, that's not how I work. I just like good movies.
Yeah. And for me, I grew up reading the Marvel comics myself.
I did too.
So that's really what I gravitate to.
When I was a teenager, I read a lot, well, younger than a teenager, like 10, 12, I read a lot of Marvel and stuff like that, but I probably read more like comic books like in my 20s, and that's when I was reading Batman and stuff like that, and I don't know. But, no, it's good. My list is kind of, I did and I didn't put a lot of thought into it, because something I've noticed about these Marvel movies is some of them grow on me the more I watch them, some of them I don't know what the opposite, shrink on me the more I watch them. I mean, some of them, like, the more I watch them, like, the less I like them. And it's just kind of interesting because, you know, I came to, like, actually just this weekend, I went over the Marvel Marathon with my wife, and some of my ranks changed. I was really surprised about that.
Funny, the same thing happened with me. I went to the Marvel Marathon on Thursday, and I spent all Thursday watching, you know, the five Marvel movies leading up to Avengers.
Yeah.
And actually, one of my favorites dropped below another one.
That's actually funny. Me too. The same thing happened to me. And we did the same thing, but I didn't go to the AMC thing because I have them all on Blu-ray. I have a big TV. I can push pause and go to the bathroom. You know, a soda isn't $7. So I just did that at home and then saw the Avengers the next day. And then my wife reacted to it so strongly, we watched the damn Marvel Marathon again. And so we watched, you know, we watched all the Marvel movies twice in, you know, 72 hours or something like that.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. I agree. I completely agree. But she wanted to do it, and I didn't want to fight about it.
I actually did go to the Marvel Marathon on Thursday. So, although I didn't get to go to the whole thing, I got to go to the show up when they started Thor, and then go on from there. So,
That's only three movies then.
Yeah. But we had family coming in, and I was graduating, and there's a bunch of crazy stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Marvel Studios, I really think they've just been doing a bang-up job bringing these characters to life. And while it's very evident in the early movies, they sort of lacked a universal direction. They obviously, with this latest one with Avengers, they've decided to make it much more of a Marvel Universe feel. So.
Right.
Which I think is very much to their benefit. They're giving the fans what they want, and it's showing. So,
one thing I'll say about them is, you know, and if somebody's listening to this that knows I'm a Batman fan, you think I'm stabbing you in the back, fine. But one thing that Marvel does do a lot better than DC, especially with these live action movies, is, you know, they haven't been knocking it out of the park every single time. Like, we were just looking at the numbers for The Incredible Hulk. It didn't do very well. Some of these movies, they did all right, but they weren't, like, you know, doing Avengers money. They weren't doing Iron Man money. But they don't let that sink them. I mean, look what happened with last summer when we had a, you know, pretty much two bad movies with Jonah Hex and, you know, Green Lantern. Mm-hmm. You know there was probably meetings in their in the studio with them saying, okay, you know, well, we just need to get rid of this and move on, because they worked with it. I mean, unfortunately, some of those casualties are, like, you know, Ed Norton, who's a real good actor, but but, you know, at the same time, Mark Ruffalo is a real good actor too, and it worked out, unfortunately, for Ed Norton, but I don't think he particularly cares. I mean, he gets work, and I'm not going to say he doesn't care, but I don't imagine that he's losing any sleep over it.
Yeah, I don't think he has any hard feelings over it.
No, actually, I read something.
I'm not sure. He might have hard feelings when he sees how much money Avengers made.
That's true.
Well, that's true. But in terms of Mark Ruffalo, I've read somewhere that I guess him and Ed Norton are acquaintances or friends or some crap, and Ruffalo asked Norton if it was cool with him if he took. I don't know if that's real or if that's just studio posture.
No, I believe it. I've heard from Ruffalo. I haven't heard from Norton, but I believe it. I mean, they're both New York guys.
Yeah,
definitely have been in the same circles.
Sure.
And I think Ruffalo, just knowing, you know, he's been screwed over quite a bit in his career.
He actually has quite a bit. A lot of people aren't aware of it.
You know.
Mm-hmm. So.
God.
It's a good movie, though. It's a good movie, and but I do like that about Marvel, is, you know, they do make missteps, but, you know, they're not afraid to say, we screwed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, not reboot the whole entire thing, which is what's happening with DC, at least I imagine. Because, you know, it's no secret that they're not going to continue the Batman series after The Dark Knight Rises. They're going to do a reboot that right now is scheduled for 2015, if I remember right. And
do they actually have a date for it?
Well, it's on IMDb, but you know how that is.
Yeah, okay.
So, but they have said that they are doing a Batman reboot after the Nolan thing, and Nolan is staying on as executive producer. But you know how those things are, especially on IMDb.
I'm not really sure what the point of that is.
Me neither.
It's not like Superman where they're going to lose the character if they don't jump into another movie right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, here's hoping. I mean, I hope they do a good job because good Marvel movie, good DC movie. It's all good comic movies, and
yeah. I mean, if you had come to me 10 years ago and said, we're going to have an Avengers movie in 10 years, I wouldn't have believed you at all.
And it's going to capture the public's imagination. Mm-hmm. No way.
And it was going to make $700 million worldwide in 13 days.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Well, I mean, the real killer right now is that Warner Brothers had Joss Whedon doing Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I bet they're really...
And she just sat on it and it never happened.
Yep.
And they're probably looking at this now like, boy, you probably could be a good movie and...
Oops.
You know,
that makes just as much... That makes almost more sense to me. I mean, Joss Whedon is a no-brainer for directing the Avengers, but Wonder Woman makes more sense since he does female characters.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I thought we talked about this when we talked about Avengers.
Sure.
I mean, I thought, you know, the Black Widow was great in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Real good. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. Well, why don't we get moving on this list so we can start talking about this stuff
and
get going on. Ethan, number six.
Well, I structured this list with the idea of stuff I'd like to talk about or at least point people towards is, hey, it's not that bad. Yes, my number six is I think it's the 2004 Jonathan Hensley Punisher movie.
That was all right.
And you and I saw this in theaters when it came out. And, I remember both of us saying, it was all right. This is one of those movies I'm on record as saying that the more I've watched it, the more I've grown to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I still think that Thomas Jane is the best Punisher on film.
Yeah, that's not saying a lot though.
Compared to what two other incarnations of him with Dolph Lundgren and Ray Stevens.
Uh-huh. Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson. Nothing against Ray Stevenson, he's not Frank.
No.
This movie had, obviously goes for the Welcome Back Frank type of storyline from that comic series that I really, really enjoy. It did, okay at theaters. It's not a fan favorite. It's definitely not a critic's favorite.
Oh no, 29% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think by far the biggest drawback of this movie is John Travolta.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's every scene where Thomas Jane's in there, I think he nails it.
John Travolta.
And this is definitely, I think it's the best Punisher movie they've done. Which doesn't say a lot, because Warzone wasn't good, and then the Dolph Lundgren one was terrible.
Warzone had a,
Warzone was like a Looney Tunes cartoon. It was bad.
Yeah, it's like, fish sticks. I'm good with one of them about every 10 years, but I don't want to eat them a lot.
Yeah, and really, Punisher is a hard character to sort of get a grasp on, and the studios have not been able to really do it justice yet, because the Punisher is a very dark character. I think this one tackled it and got it the best, but didn't quite get it. Because if you read any of the, I mean, my favorite Punisher from the comic books is Garth Ennis.
Yeah.
The Garth Ennis Punisher from this era, from Welcome Back Frank and his Knights series. Because the way he portrays the Punisher, and really the Punisher isn't someone that you want to see in like an Avengers movie. He's very much a guy who gets his own thing. But him being rooted in the Marvel Universe does work because I liked how Garth Ennis basically showed him up as the only sane person in the Marvel Universe. He knows what's what. He knows basically that everyone else is running around in tights and is ergo, not entirely stable.
Right.
And then he does his thing. And this movie sort of gets that, but I'm really excited to see what Marvel does with it now that they have Punisher back under the Marvel Studios umbrella. Because if they do it right, they can make a really cool movie. I mean, you could go with this mindless action type of thing.
Three times. We don't need that.
Yeah, I still really, really like Thomas Jane as the Punisher.
The first one isn't 100% mindless, but it's 90% mindless.
Yeah, well, it's an 80s Dolph Lundgren movie.
No, the one you're talking about.
Oh, okay, yes.
No, that one's pure brains. Yeah. It was He-Man with a gun.
Uh-huh. So, you know, there's this one. It's 2004 Punisher. It's not the best, but it's not bad. A lot of people give it a lot of shit, and I think unrightfully so.
I watched it
so my number six.
A month or so ago again, and you know, I didn't feel like I was wasting my time. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
On, you know, it was free on Netflix. Well, you know, on Netflix.
Yeah.
But there you go. Anything to add, Ed?
No, I wasn't a fan of that movie. Actually, it's funny, because I used to read, like, The Punisher when he was in the Spider-Man comics.
Uh-huh.
I've not really been, I mean, other than Garth Ennis, looks kind of fun. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of the character, and I'm kind of like...
Yeah, I like the Garth Ennis one when he had a bit of restraint. When they went to the Max Line comics, which is what the Warzone, Punisher Warzone is based on, they lost me because it just went way too far out in the left field.
Yeah. Oddly enough.
But as far as that movie, I felt like... Something about that movie, like I didn't like how they handled the origin story.
Sure.
And stuff. That kind of ruined
it. Well, like I said, the biggest drawback of that movie is John Travolta. He just does not work in that movie. I think, though, that Thomas Jane can make a good Punisher.
Sure.
And I don't think he should be a write-off.
Yeah, I think he's good, yeah.
So, that's my number six.
Yeah, the weird thing about Punisher and me is, like, the Punisher I read most consistently was 2099. And,
yeah.
Once again, that's one of those things that gets a lot of crap that doesn't necessarily deserve it, but it hardly needs to be put on a pedestal.
Sure.
So
I remember all the 2099 books.
Yeah, I do too. Ed, what's your number six?
Okay, number six. It's funny because I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, but I've never really gotten into the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies that much. But I do think Spider-Man 2 is the best of the three of them.
I'd agree with that.
I thought that was just like the way they handled Dr. Octopus was great. I thought that. It kind of like I started to like Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst a lot better as the characters. And I thought it was generally a fun movie, and I think they kind of really, you know, got the fun of the comics a lot more and did some interesting things with the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was the best of the three movies, and I thought that was as a Spider-Man fan, that's the one I could probably watch multiple times without having problems with it. So I had problems with the first movie and third movies.
Me too. Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's my number eight, actually. I really like Spider-Man 2.
I mean,
we're on record of saying, you know, when they cast Alfred Molina, it was one of those that you went, Alfred Molina? Who's that? And then you look and went, damn, he's perfect, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I knew who Alfred Molina was.
Yeah,
I was just all
really,
like,
really
I never thought
made
of
the movie
yeah.
for me. He's really the best villain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He does an amazing job. And that movie, you know, say what you will about the Sam Raimi run on Spider-Man. Obviously, it's the only run we've got so far. But we have Sam Raimi doing his thing, and you go back and watch these movies now, and you found it was the case with the X-Men movies, is that in the context of when they came out, they were fantastic, but since then, we've gotten some much better Marvel movies. And see, Spider-Man 2, I think, is by far the best Spider-Man movie.
Oh, without a doubt.
And it does a great job of doing what... It's what makes all those Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies great is sort of bottled up in that movie.
I agree. I completely agree, Ed, but I left Spider-Man 2 off my list. Mostly,
really?
Yeah, I did. Because I was pretty sure it was going to show up on YouTube, on both of yours, but I also did my list. I just kind of pulled out my iPod, wrote them down, and it didn't pop up. So if it isn't like one of the first 10 ones that pops to my mind, I just... Apparently, and I just watched this weekend.
Really?
And,
wow.
Yeah, and I do really like it a lot, but I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe because it's the middle chapter when I don't care about the first chapter and I don't care about the third chapter. You know, because, you know, I've often said on this show my favorite movie ever made is The Empire Strikes Back, which is a middle chapter. So I'm not opposed to middle chapters, but in this case, I do really like it. It just... Because I don't care where it goes, it just doesn't go. But no, it's a very good one. Very good one. I like that one. So my number six is also another middle chapter, and it's also another one that I don't care about the first one or the third one. But it's also a character I don't care about. It's a character I actually don't like, but it's Blade 2.
Oh, okay.
I really like Blade 2. And
it's a good movie.
It's a really good movie. I love all the... Guillermo del Toro. I mean, he's a very excellent director. I don't like Wesley Snipes. I mean, as Blade, he works, sure. But he's weird, but I really enjoyed the villain in that. I enjoyed the fact that he wasn't just, you know, a mustache twisting villain. I liked the fact that at the time that fight between Blade and that dude was amongst the best comic book movie fights we ever gotten. Now you know there was, you know, 45 minutes of that in the Avengers, but you know, it was cool. I like it. It's a good movie, and it isn't higher on my list because of the fact that I don't like the first or the third one, and I don't particularly like Blade. But I do think it deserves honorable mention on my list because of the fact that I don't like any of those things about it, but I do enjoy it despite all that. So that's my number six.
Nice.
Funny, because that was my number five movie, so obviously you're not completely crazy and alone on that one.
No, not on that one.
Yeah, Blade 2 didn't make my list. One, I was hoping it would show up on Aaron's. It's a great movie. I love Blade 2. It's easily the best Blade movie, I think.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Guillermo del Toro is an absolutely fantastic director. And
I want him to work more.
Yeah. So
I know he works a lot, but I want him to work more.
He works like a...
More!
But you know, Blade 2 has some great, for me it comes down to in a great comic book movie is you gotta have at least one really good comic book fight.
And that
movie had it in the end.
Oh,
you had, you know, them throwing each other through, you know, in big craters, giant wall. I mean, that was just,
exploding marble floors by punching, you know?
And when you go see a comic book movie, you want to see stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, you want to see crazy crap like that. So, I guess we're to my number five then.
Yes, sir.
My number five is the only Marvel animated that's going to make my list, and it's Doctor Strange.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's my number five also.
It's a good one.
It's a good one. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the only Marvel animated that I like that isn't the Avengers, the first Avengers one.
The Ultimate Avengers is good.
Yeah, it didn't make my
next
list.
Next Avengers isn't bad, if you haven't seen that.
The one of the kids?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's not bad. But Doctor Strange just does an awesome job of just introducing the character and really making me excited for a live-action one to come out at some point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It had what Marvel does best, with these little nods towards other characters and making a shared universe.
Do I remember... Yeah, in the hospital, they page Bruce Banner?
No, it was Blake. Blake.
Yeah, Donald Blake.
Paging Dr. Blake. Blake, yes.
I like stuff like that. It's just the nerd.
And it's very true in essence to the origin of Doctor Strange, that he was a surgeon and all that stuff, but it modernized it. And it did a good job of having a good story. The animation was decent,
good.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not talking like, you know, a Justice League level of awesomeness, you know, with the Bruce Timm stuff.
Yeah.
But for a Marvel animated, it was quite good.
So that is true.
And you know, the Invincible Iron Man one isn't bad, but this one I definitely
Invincible
get.
Iron Man, it wasn't bad, but it was kind of stupid.
Yeah, well, because we already had Iron Man, you know, and I think Iron Man came out, the live action Iron Man came out, I think, just before or just after that.
Just before it.
But,
it was in reaction to it.
Yeah. But the Doctor Strange, I think, is a very fascinating character, and, you know, it was sort of a testing the waters thing, and the Marvel animated needs to really figure out which direction they want to go.
Yeah, or not.
Or not
just,
go,
And just do what they're doing on the live action
stuff. Yeah, because they're hitting the nail on the head with that. But in Doctor Strange, I felt that they actually hit the nail on the head. They did a real good job.
Mm-hmm.
And it made it my number five.
Very good. Now, my number five was that as well. Ethan said it all. Only thing is, if they made this movie live action and it you know, was halfway decent, it would boot this one off the list. Because, you know, it's not one of those animated movies that I'm not aware that's animated. And I would honestly probably prefer live action in, you know, most cases. So
mm-hmm.
Now, Ed, your number five was Blade 2. Did you want to add anything?
Yeah, actually I do, because I didn't get to talk about it.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Actually, I was kind of, you know, like I was the same. I wasn't a fan of Blade, but I was already a fan of Guillermo del Toro when I saw this movie. And I was actually kind of surprised. I really liked it a lot. And I thought it was just not only because of the action, but also the horror elements you really kind of got with the vampires and weepers and all that stuff. But it kind of really showed me to do a concept.
It's also always good to see Ron Perlman in a movie that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Ron Perlman was hilarious in it. He was great. Like, he kind of played the side character, but that movie kind of like set the way for knowing
Hellboy,
Hellboy movie. And I kind of like this, and I like Hellboy 2 a lot. And those two movies kind of.
I still haven't seen Hellboy 2, and I want to. I just haven't.
Wow, if you're a fan of Blade 2, you should definitely see it, because it's such a...
I'm a bigger fan of Guillermo del Toro than I am of Blade 2, but... And I want to see it, I just haven't. I mean, it's just one of those sense of omissions in what I've seen or not seen.
But have you seen the first Hellboy? Or
yes, okay. I've seen that.
The second one's much better, I think.
Is it really? I keep hearing that. It's not a case of, you know, I'm just being a bullheaded. I just haven't seen it. I want to. It's a good movie, though. I do like
it. Number five is Blade 2. I liked it for many reasons you did. I thought it was just... I mean, it was funny. It was kind of the... I was very disappointed by the first X-Men movie. And it kind of came out at a time where it really kind of made me think that maybe a Marvel movie can be good again. So,
well, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I thought everybody was nuts when everyone was talking about how much they loved the first Blade movie. It was what it was, it wasn't for me, but I still thought that people were overreacting to it. I thought the same thing about The Matrix. I thought The Matrix was good, I thought it was what it was, but I thought people were overreacting to it. I felt the exact same way about Blade, and those were about the same time, weren't they? I don't know, Blade came out in 97, right?
98, I think.
Around that, I don't know.
No, I think Matrix came out first, I'm not sure.
No, The Matrix came out in 99. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Blade was the first quote-unquote Marvel movie.
Very good. Well, what's your number four, Ethan?
Moving down to my number four, it's the Ang Lee Hulk.
I like that movie. It's not on my list, but I do like it.
It's another one that gets a lot of crap. I think you sort of hit it when we were talking about it earlier, was as a Hulk movie, it's not the best, but as a movie, it's good.
Yep.
But it's not a very good comic book movie.
No.
But what I like about Ang Lee's Hulk is that it was cerebral. It was beautifully shot, obviously, with Ang Lee in there. Mm-hmm. Great scene transitions. but it had this great humanity to it, and it, you know, it sort of explored that, you know, man and monster type of thing. And you know, I'm sort of on record as liking this movie, and I do like it, and I think a lot of people give it a lot of crap. And mm-hmm. You know, Eric Bana, I think, up until recently, was one of the best Banners. I think.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Ruffalo probably edges him out now, but it was the first time we got to see something big like that, and sort of tackling a Hulk story is not exactly easy, and they managed to do it in this one really well, and this is right before they started, you know, getting stuff back into the Marvel Studios and getting that shared universe sort of mentality going, and with this movie, it does definitely show that it's not a universe of superheroes, but it is Hulk, and it was nice to see the brief moments when we got to see Hulk smash. It was that was very cool. So
yeah, Hulk smash. Hulk didn't smash a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. I this movie definitely dropped down how much I liked it. What with watching you know, the Avengers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the whole, you know, I don't like it, therefore it's the worst thing ever made. I've always kind of wondered why people can't really project the fact that, you know, it's, you know, part of what you like or dislike about a movie is personal. And, you know, people are, oh, this movie sucks so much. And I think I looked up your review and you didn't like this one, Ed?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I think it's the worst thing ever made.
It's the worst thing ever made?
Well, I don't know about that, but it definitely was one of my least favorite Marvel movies ever.
Okay.
Including both Fantastic Four movies, I also hated.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought the Hulk has so much potential, and I really feel like that Ang Lee, I was really expecting something better out of him. I was really expecting something a little more, you know, exciting and something a little more...
Less cerebral?
Less cerebral, but it was kind of like, it kind of missed a lot of things. And actually, it's funny, because I'm a huge Absorbing Man fan.
Yeah.
I felt like the fact that he used his powers for this character and made absolutely no sense whatsoever. And then he did this crazy fight at the end, which made no sense, which no one could follow at all.
Yeah.
I didn't find it so cerebral at all. I found it was just like a guy who doesn't know comics, trying to do a comic movie, and just like completely failing it.
Oh, no, fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fair enough. I mean, it is what it is, and I've seen far worse movies.
Oh, yeah.
And that's funny, because I liked The Incredible Hulk better than that, but when I saw it again recently at the Marvel Marathon, I kind of thought, okay, it's okay, it's not great.
It's sloppy.
Yeah, it has a lot of problems, and it was not the best.
It's one of those that you can tell that when they did it, they didn't have that direction of, you know, yes, we're going to go do the Avengers, you know, we're going toward the Avengers with this, and, mm-hmm. and you
well,
can tell they were sort of testing
at that
water.
Point, they already kind of knew, though. At that point, they kind of, I mean, that was the whole point of the
Well, we had the scene with Ross and Stark and talking
yeah,
about the
but,
event.
you really get the impression.
Gone.
Yeah, and you know, when you watch the on the DVDs, you know, the something happened with Thor's hammer, and then the consultant,
I like those. Mm-hmm.
Is the consultant sort of,
one's just like, it feels like such a,
let's do this to explain away this scene.
Yeah, because that was stupid.
It's like, because it really felt like now, a scene they wanted to do just to say, hey, see, Iron Man does exist in this universe.
Uh-huh. Now, Ed, you said something about this on Twitter, like when you're watching the watching these movies for the Marvel marathon, and I responded to you. Did you understand all that, or were you being funny
about what? Oh, about the ending, you mean?
Well, with the ending, because you said that, like, you know, this doesn't make sense. How come?
Because Tony Stark meets with General Ross, mm-hmm. And that scene has nothing to do with anything that's happened afterwards.
And you're absolutely right. And they do.
Like General Ross, you think General Ross would be against S.H.I.E.L.D. because they're kind of, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. now are pulling, you know, Dr. Banner into the mist. So you would think that maybe General Ross would not be very happy with that. And that would be like, maybe his Hulk busters would go off the S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that.
That would be pretty sweet. What they did, Ed, was they, on the DVDs and the Blu-rays of Thor and Captain America, they had these two little Marvel shorts. And on the one that was on Thor, it was called The Consultant. And basically what they did was they explained away that scene to where it was the government making the Avengers invite in Ross, but they didn't actually want him, so they sent Tony Stark there to piss him off.
It
was clunky and dumb, but it does explain it away. And
that's what I mean by that movie. Is it's evident to me that movie was one of the first movies that Marvel Studios did. And I think at that point they didn't know specifically they were going to go do an Avengers movie, and that they were sort of testing the waters, and you could tell they didn't sort of have a direction yet.
Yep.
Well, that's true actually, because they only announced Avengers like after Iron Man came out.
Yeah.
But then Incredible Hulk was already in post production.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And, you know, and I'm not gonna tear the movie apart because that scene doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know,
it's still a fun movie.
Oh yeah, it is what it is. I like it, okay. But, now getting into my number four, right? Yeah. My number four, it's the only...
Ed, what was your number four?
I'm sorry.
Oh, well, my number four was Avengers. I'm not sure if we need to talk about it anymore than...
Sure.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, again, like everyone says, I really liked it a lot. I liked the fight scenes. Like the characters, I'm just glad to have them all together. And it kind of really pulled together what I liked about the other movies. So it's definitely my number four, and I think it definitely works. I don't know if I saw Blade 2 again, like today, maybe I like that better, but I haven't seen Blade 2 in a long time. So
it's a good one. Yeah, I like that, and I like the Avengers. Yeah, it's a good one.
Of course, Avengers. And
yeah, it is what it is. And on to my number four. This is the only one that I'm going to have, like, you know, any bite from anybody putting on my list. You know, Ethan looks like he's building his list of these are underrated. And this is the only one that I really feel is particularly underrated. It's X-Men Origins Wolverine 2009. My thing about it... Go ahead.
No, I'm saying okay.
My thing about it is I don't like the X-Men. That is my big problem with the X-Men movies is they have too much X-Men in them. And, you know, that's not the X-Men movies' fault. That's my fault. And it's just, I don't need to see those movies. I don't like them because, you know, the big story thing is so hard to do. And the first two were made relatively well. The third one, I think it is what it is, and I think it gets way too much crap. I think it deserves some of it, but I think it gets too much. My problem with this one is everybody seems to hate it as much as they do because of what they did with Deadpool. And I don't care about Deadpool, so I don't care about that part of the movie. I think Hugh Jackman is up there of some of the best comic book casting that we've had, at least in the last, you know, 10, 15 years. I think that, you know, he's owned Wolverine. He's always a lot of fun to do. I guess in interviews and stuff, he's always said that, you know, he loves the role and he'll do it until they make him quit and do it until he dies or whatever. But I kind of like this movie. It's certainly not, you know, it shouldn't win any Oscars, and rightfully so it didn't. 37% on Rotten Tomatoes. I like it for a couple of reasons. One of my big problems with the first X-Men was the fact they turned Sabretooth into a mindless brute idiot. And he's not a super duper smart guy, but he's not a monosyllabic moron.
Sabretooth smash.
Yeah, Sabretooth smash. And, you know, Liev Schreiber did a pretty good job with that. I liked, Ryan Reynolds as, Wade Wilson. And, you know, he played Wade Wilson well. I just kind of like some of the visuals in it. I kind of like it when he broke the helicopter. I thought that was kind of silly, fun, comic book over the top-ness. I liked the fight on top of the nuclear reactor. There's some weird stuff about it, but I still enjoy watching it. So I threw it in here as my number four, and I feel okay about it.
I like Wolverine. Yeah. It's fine. It was one of those that I saw in theaters. So I was like, eh, it's all right. And then it was actually the first Blu-ray I picked up ever. And watched it again, and watching it in the home environment, I actually liked it more. And, you know, upon subsequent viewings, again, it's another one that's sort of grown on me. I think it's really underrated, and a lot of people give it a lot of crap.
Well, I mean,
and I think you're right. It's because of the Deadpool thing.
I think it's a big part of it. And, you know, there's also goofy crap in it. But the people that are going to be flaming it and tearing it down on, like, Rotten Tomatoes or whatever are the diehard Deadpool fans. That's one of the things I don't like about Deadpool is his goddamn fans. They're irritating. But I like Deadpool okay.
Yeah, amen to that.
I like Deadpool okay. I just don't care that much about him. I kind of like the Gambit cameo. A lot of people tore that apart. I thought it was kind of neat. But do you have any thoughts on this one, Ed? Because I really doubt you'd like it.
Actually, I kind of did. I'm a big Wolverine fan. I love Hugh Jackman.
Jackman is just...
He's a good character. I liked Liev Schreiber. I thought he was great as Sabretooth. I had some problems. I am not a Deadpool fan. And I kind of felt like... I can definitely understand why they kind of screwed it up by, like, muting him and stuff. But, I mean, I think there's a lot of things I liked in the movie. Gambit. I liked Lynn Collins as Silver Fox.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely like... It's my number 10 movie. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't make my top 5, but it is the movie which... Like, I kind of liked enough that, I would see it again in a second, and I like the character enough that I want to see more of it, so.
I like it better than any other X-Men movie, but that's because I don't like X-Men.
Yeah, and I think it doesn't feel like an X-Men movie.
And, exactly.
I think that's probably a good thing.
I mean, there's some, I like it for what it is. I'm hardly, screaming from rooftops, but I like it, and, I'm cool with watching it sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, that's my number four. Ethan, what's your number three?
My number three surprised me. It was one that I liked. I still like, obviously. Upon viewing it again recently, it's grown on me. It's Thor.
Cool. I like Thor a lot.
Thor. With all the Marvel movies, they have occasional problems here.
Sure.
And there. And Thor is not without it. But Thor introduces Tom Hiddleston as Loki for me, and by far, I think. I really, really like how Tom Hiddleston plays that character. And while I don't think the writing in this one is as solid, like writing for Loki is as solid as it was in Avengers,
Joss Whedon? Did he do, who wrote this one?
It was a bunch of people. It was like kind of like a combination.
Like,
started with Matthew Vaughn, and then it went to like Don Payne. I think Don Payne was the final writer. But there was a lot of writers. There was a lot of incarnations.
Yeah, but this one did a good job of still, solidly having it in the Marvel Universe, but then bringing in this Thor aspect to it. Yeah, it had a lot of different people on it.
Eight writers.
It's a hard one to sort of figure out.
Well, three of them are Lee Kirby and Lieber. Yeah. But J. Michael Straczynski, Mark Provosic, Don Payne, Zach Stentz, Ashley Miller.
And for me, overall, the movie is great. There's probably a little bit too much exposition here and there in it, but overall, like the design on it is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I think Asgard is just fantastic. And,
yep.
I mean, they got Anthony Hopkins in there, and they got some.
You
great,
love yourself some Anthony Hopkins.
I do.
That's been very consistent about
fabulous
you.
Fabulous with Odin. And then you got Chris Hemsworth as Thor, and just coming out with this character that. In the comic books, Thor isn't this, a lot of people sort of disregard Thor in the comic books, especially when they announced this movie. It was like, oh, he's going to be forsooth and da 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 da. Sort of how, Iron Man makes fun of him in Avengers.
Yep.
This movie managed to take that and sort of bring it sort of down into the Marvel Universe and say, you could see these guys as gods or as mythical beings, but they could also just be aliens, sort of thing. It's sort of whatever you sort of take away from it. And again, it surprised the hell out of me. Kenneth Branagh directed it, and
did a good job.
I thought, great job.
I like this movie a lot, but I'm going to talk about it more when you get to it on my list.
Sure.
Right. Go ahead, Ed.
I'll do the same thing.
You're going to do the same thing? Okay. Where are we then?
That was my number three.
So that's Ed's number three now, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, sorry, X-Men haters, but I'm going to go with X2, which is Bryan Singer's X-Men movie.
Best X-Men movie.
Yeah. I thought it was just a terrific movie. I thought it was a really good X-Men movie. Mm-hmm. The movie was beautifully shot. They actually got a script which really worked well.
Yeah.
All the characters I thought were handled a lot better than they were in X-Men. And they kind of really built, it's really built something kind of cool upon the comics. You know, Hugh Jackman's Wolverine again, I love him. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the other characters I was kind of like iffy about, like Cyclops and Jean Grey, I kind of like got into them.
Well, Cyclops is hardly in this one.
In the second movie?
Mm-hmm. He was in it, but he wasn't in a whole lot. He was off being mind-controlled or something for most of it.
Maybe, yeah, but I feel like it was similar to what The Dark Knight was to Batman Begins.
No, you're right.
It's sort of like X-Men was kind of like a director who's never done a cop movie, just doing the best he can and just trying to, you know, deal with the studio and all this other stuff. And then when that movie did well, the second movie, it seemed like it was really Bryan Singer really telling the story he wanted to tell.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, it really worked as a movie. It worked as an X-Men fan, I liked it. As a movie fan, I liked it. And I think it still really stands up as one of the better comic movies out there.
And I agree. It's the best X-Men team movie. I watched it weekend. You know, I remember loving this when I saw it in the theater. Well, at least really liking it when I saw it in the theater. And I watched it this weekend, and I thought that a lot of the cool stuff about it peaked in, like, the first 15, 20 minutes. Like, the Nightcrawler going after the president was a really cool scene. And some of the – like, I enjoy Wolverine versus Stryker's soldiers in the mansion when he stabs that dude, and everybody in the theater are like, oh my god, it was awesome. And but you know, overall it's a good movie.
Yeah, and overall it works well, because I mean Magneto doesn't feel like he's tacked in there for no apparent reason, and it's a good ensemble movie. And
I mean Professor X and Magneto, I really like that,
that dynamic is awesome. Yeah. And until Avengers came out, this was the best ensemble superhero movie.
Yeah, I'd agree. Sure. I guess I'd agree with that.
I agree with that. Good job. Where are we now?
You're number three.
I don't know what it is. I think I know what it is.
Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck, yes. I don't remember who directed it, though. No, my number three is the 2012 Joss Whedon Avengers. I guess I liked it a hair more than Ed. I mean, I often talk about he sees more movies, he's read more comic books, so his tastes are going to be different than mine. I liked it a lot for what it was. I wrote up a little review. It's on the website. I basically say it is what it is. You know, it's not perfect, but if you're griping about some of this stuff that isn't perfect about it, you got bigger problems than a movie. I liked a lot of stuff about this. For me, the big thing I liked about it was Mark Ruffalo. And the reason I liked him as the Hulk as much as I did, other than the fact that he did a great job, is I'm not a Mark Ruffalo fan. I think on this show I said I have no idea why he has a career. And, you know, he proved it to me that he did a really good job on this. I like a lot of the stuff about it. I think that, and this isn't going to be a spoiler, yeah, because if you're listening to this, you've already seen the damn movie. But I think without a doubt, my favorite scene is the after the credit sequence when they're eating in the restaurant. That cracks me up, and if I see this movie in the theater again, which I think I'm going to have to because my wife wants to see it, I will stay for that again, because it's such a great, funny little Joss Whedon moment, and it actually captured the characters really well.
Yes.
Good action, a little slow at first. I was a big fan of Hawkeye. I'd like to see something happen to where we can get more of him. A Hawkeye movie just isn't very likely. Maybe a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie. Maybe if they do make Avengers 2, he can have a little bit bigger role. It was cool seeing him as a bad guy because he started out as a bad guy. Overall, it worked really well. I liked it quite a bit. It's a really good movie, so it's my number three. Add, if you want. I liked it. I am Ethan, age 4.
Exactly. No.
Yeah, I have nothing more to say about Avengers. I've already
People have talked about it too much. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. I feel like I'm already sick of people talking about it.
Yeah, it's getting there. People see a good movie and they overreact to it.
Mm-hmm. So do number two.
Yes.
My number two is Iron Man.
My number two is Iron Man.
Well, my number two is Iron Man.
Well, boom!
Whoa! The trifecta.
Trifecta.
And, you know, it being Marvel Studios' first outing, Iron Man just hit all the beats. It just nailed it with the perfect casting, a good story, and, you know, it just had the right atmosphere to it. And, you know, I especially when they did Iron Man, I mean, Iron Man wasn't this huge character in the comic books. He, the people obviously knew of him and, you know, whatnot, but he wasn't this, you know, huge multi-selling, because, I mean, the big selling comics have always been Spider-Man and X-Men.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that those were licensed out early.
Yeah.
And Iron Man is one of those that I know was in development hell for the longest time.
Yep.
You know, Brian De Palma was going to do it, and Tom Cruise was going to star in it, and it was in development.
Nick Cassavetes was going to direct it. Yeah.
And luckily, all of that died.
Wasn't it New Line also? Like, Nick Cassavetes was doing it at New Line?
Yeah,
I believe it was with New Line, yeah.
And luckily, it languished and died a horrible death and was resurrected at Marvel Studios with Jon Favreau. And
that's a weird director for this.
Yeah, and the absolutely spot-on, perfect goddamn casting of Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
We've discussed it before, and I'll say it again. You know, not since Christopher Reeve has there been, and even arguably so with Hugh Jackman.
It's Hugh Jackman or Robert Downey Jr.
Robert, no one has embodied a character so well as Robert Downey Jr. and Tony Stark. And he just is so perfect in the part and just embraces it and just is an absolutely amazing job. And I think there would be revolution and bloodshed if they were to recast that part.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's not signed for Avengers 2, so
Zac Efron. He is not?
There you go. Awesome.
He is not signed for it?
No, he is. He signed for 4 movies, and Iron Man 3 is his 4.
I thought he signed for 7.
Nope.
Huh. Okay. Well, uh-oh. He seems to like it, though.
Yeah, I read an interview with him recently, and he did say that they asked him about recasting and doing, you know, and dropping out of the part, and he said, it basically said, as long as they keep bringing me good scripts, as long as the scripts are good and the stories don't suck, I see no reason to stop. So
he has a lot of freedom, which is part of why Iron Man worked.
Yeah,
that, like, Jon Favreau gave him a lot of freedom.
Yeah,
like,
which is what you want with Tony Stark and this movie
like, on the set.
Tony Stark in the comic books is a tool.
Oh yeah.
He's a tool.
Oh, yeah, well,
he's way cooler in the movies.
And he's a tool in the movies, too. It's
not
just, he's a likable tool.
The same
tool.
Way. He's not a likable tool in the books, no.
But Downey Jr. brings a great charisma to it, and he, I think, is entirely one of the huge reasons that this movie just amazed.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember seeing this movie and being very trepidatious and going, you know, I like Iron Man. I know of him. I've read some of his comics. And I came into the movie as a fan of his early stuff. You know, I used to read some of his old comics, honestly, from 70s and 80s and into the 90s. And I liked Iron Man. I thought Iron Man was a cool character, but I never really
Robot
thought of him.
Man.
Yeah, I never really thought of him as this, you know, this would make an awesome movie type of thing. And they did it with the first Iron Man.
I went in expecting to like it and came out loving it.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of the fact that I've been a Robert Downey Jr. fan since like the late 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whenever he was on Saturday Night Live, I loved him on Saturday Night Live. He cracked me up. And I've been a huge fan of his for, you know, through all the drug years and everything. And I'm like, well, this sucks because I'm going to wake up one day and see that he's frickin' dead. And, you know, it was cool to wake up one day and see that he's Iron Man, and, you know, hopefully he's doing a lot better, and, you know, he's played this role several times now and has done really well. I liked Jeff Bridges in this a lot. It's not a typical Jeff Bridges role, but, you know, he really chewed the scenery and, you know, had a lot of fun with it. I like this movie a lot because it's one of the few movies that doesn't particularly waste any time. I mean, it hits the ground running. I mean, what is there, 2 minutes before the explosions start, if that long?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm not a fan of exposition. I'm not a fan of understanding where everything comes from. I think that if you can explain it in a couple of sentences and that's good enough for me, I don't need to see it. And with this movie being mostly exposition, it was done in such a good way to where I just really, really, really enjoyed it. So it's my number two. I love it. It's a great movie. I actually watch it pretty often. It's a good one.
It's great. It's
Ed?
Good. Ed?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Iron Man a bunch of times. I saw it again, you know, at the Marvel Marathon. I think after everything you said, I also think that the chemistry between Robert Downey and Gwyneth Paltrow is probably some of the best comic book, you know, chemistry brought to the screen.
Absolutely.
I thought that they've done with those characters, even into Avengers, has been great.
Yeah.
I just love it. And I think the action's really amazing. I don't think you guys mentioned it, but the action.
No, real good action.
Really well handled. I think Jon Favreau really, you know, knocked one out of the park with that one. It really kind of changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
It came out the same year as Dark Knight also.
Yeah.
That was a big, like, oh, you hear two really good comic book movies in 1 year, this might be the changing, you know, something that changed everything.
Seems like it, and it seems like it happened. He also had really good, it was really weird, but he had really good chemistry with Paul Bettany, who was a voice.
Yeah.
And it just goes to show you, though, like, you know, how likable of a character this is.
Mm-hmm.
I've often said one, go ahead.
I also like Terrence Howard. I kind of felt like Terrence Howard was better than Don Cheadle. And I kind of felt like a bit bummed out that when Don, I mean, I like Don Cheadle a lot.
Uh-huh.
But there was something about Terrence Howard that I really liked that I kind of like. I thought I really believed their relationship, right? Where I didn't believe with Don Cheadle that much.
Fair enough. One of my favorite Iron Man characters is Dummy, that arm thing, mm-hmm. and I loved the payoff, yeah, with it handing him the power pack thing
with the arc
reactor. That was a cool little payoff, and it was just neat. It was just showing it was a good script, and
yeah.
No, I really liked this movie a lot. And I'm amazed it's not my number one, because I like it so much. I mean, I watch it.
Yeah, it's funny, because it was going to be my number, it would have been my number one, but then when I saw the Marvel Marathon, things switched around a little bit.
Me too.
But I think that, also another thing which also would be mentioned, it also introduces Agent Coulson, who's kind of a fan favorite.
Oh, I love Agent Coulson.
Well, as well as the concept of S.H.I.E.L.D., as well as the concept of Avengers. I mean, that kind of started the whole ball rolling, because
yep.
They really kind of put a lot of Easter eggs in there, got people started on what this could be, so...
Really good movie. I love it. Really good movie. Ethan.
I guess we're to my number one.
Yes, sir.
Chalk it up to timing and whatnot, but
timing.
For me, it's the Avengers.
I figured it would be.
I loved it, you know. We've talked it to death already, but I think the reason I liked it so much is that it just captured the essence of what the Avengers was and the essence of what Marvel comics are, the Marvel characters are, is because you have a lot of conflict, even amongst the heroes, and I felt that Joss Whedon came in and hit that screenplay and made Loki Loki. Loki is great in Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's good in Thor. He's great in the Avengers.
I think he's great in both, but he's really good
but
in both.
In Avengers, Loki is that Loki character that I was expecting. This Machiavellian,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, just. There's a you sit and chuckle when they gag him at the end of the movie because it's
yeah.
like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
And at the end of, I understand like at the end of, that in Thor, he's much more of a blossoming villain type of thing. And
that was really surprising to me because if there's one character in the Marvel Universe that's your typical mustache twirling villain, it's Loki.
Yeah.
And to make him conflicted was crazy.
Yeah.
But it worked well.
And I like how they brought him back in this one. And, you know, the movie's got its problems. I will completely grant you that. But overall, fun, exciting, great action
mm-hmm.
sequences and...
Scene transitions.
Great scene transitions. It's just a fun, fun, fun movie.
It's really fun.
It's like you said it sort of perfectly. It's not a perfect movie, but it was a perfect Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I'm going to say about it, but it is my number one.
It's a good movie. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. Ed, what's your number one?
Well, actually, I think you and me are kind of in the same boat here. I think,
strikes me as it. Is yours Thor, too?
Kind of both, yeah, I think it's Thor. I think we both kind of, like, when we saw Iron Man and Thor kind of back-to-back, I think, like, I mean, I kind of think that Thor, in general, even though I'm not a huge Thor fan...
Exactly,
They basically got that character and made a very cool movie. It was a movie that, like, Asgard looked amazing, and then back on Earth, they had these amazing relationships. I think Kenneth Branagh really made... an amazing movie out of a movie that probably should not have even worked or been any good. The mm-hmm. Thor movie should have been like the Ang Lee Hulk movie, and somehow it kind of like was just much better than it should have been. I kind of liked it more and more. I like it more and more the more I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing it after Iron Man made me realize, hey, you know what? I think Thor kind of is actually a cooler movie in some ways.
It's so much. It's such a good movie based off of the fact that I was not a fan of the Thor comics in any stretch of the imagination. I thought it actually felt lazy because, you know, they're just taking the Asgardian gods and making a comic book out of them. And, you know, granted, you know, that's fine. I mean, it's just adaptation, but I just really wasn't that interested in it. For me, you know, I had to read all that stuff when I was in school and doing, you know, mythology and stuff like that. So I had my own version of it, and this seemed kind of watered down, but whatever. One of the things that I liked about this movie was you could really, I could be wrong, but I thought I could really feel Jack Kirby's influence in this one way more than any of the Marvel movies ever made. I always liked his art because it's just so, it's so bright, it's so
over the top and obnoxious, but it's just really fun to look at. I really like the Rainbow Bridge. I like the look of Asgard. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like the, I don't know what the juxtaposition, the right word, but like the difference between Asgard and New Mexico. You have this big over the top, you know, big scary frost giant.
And Seth Stanley cameo.
Best Stanley cameo. I like that one a lot. Yeah. Did it work? Yeah. That was a good one. I like this movie so much, and it occurred to me, I liked it when I first saw it in the theater, and then I bought it because I just buy all these because I like it. If I like it and it's a Marvel movie or a DC movie, I'll buy it on the Blu-ray, especially for the special features. Mm-hmm. I watched it again and I liked it even more, and I think I ended up watching it again between then and our end of the year movies when I was shocked that I ended up liking it more than Captain America when I didn't realize it. And then watching it, this is one that sneaks it into my Blu-ray player a lot more than I expect because there's just so much I like about it. I mean, I don't think it is Thor's introductory scene when he's walking in to become the king when he's got the hammer and tossing it around and he's got the hat on?
Yeah. Well, he does get hit by the car.
Oh, that's right. But that introduction was such a joyful scene. I mean, out of all the Avengers, Thor loves being Thor. Yeah. You know, Banner hates being Hulk. Iron Man's got his problem.
Spider-Man hates being Spider-Man.
Yeah, but Thor loves being Thor. And it's just cool to see that joy in a character. And it's in the Avengers, that scene when they're eating at the restaurant, you can see that, you know, Tony Stark obviously doesn't like the food because he lives off of beluga caviar or whatever. And Captain America's probably just not as taste the other guys or whatever, and Thor's just in there chowing down on that big ass sandwich, and I thought that was like the best Thor moment in all of the movies because he's just pure joy and he loves stuff. And you know, like the when he finished his coffee and threw it on the ground, more I love this shit, or that probably wasn't the line, but something like that. I enjoyed the joy of this movie, and it goes a long way with me because I am not a Natalie Portman fan. But the cool thing about that is, yeah, Natalie Portman is in that movie. Yeah, she's done better things and worse things, but better things. But every scene that she was in, you also had Stellan Skarsgård and Kat Dennings, whatever her name is. And those were wonderful characters.
Besides, you know, Jane Foster, I mean, they don't really, you know, the Stellan Skarsgård and Kat Dennings were brand new characters made up for the movie. So, but, I think a lot of the credit has to go to whoever decided to cast Chris Hemsworth as Thor. Joseph as Loki, getting Anthony Hopkins as Odin. I mean, that was like just brilliant casting. And I mean, I don't think, you know, other than Hugh Jackman and Robert Downey Jr., I think they really kind of, because two of those actors, no one knew who they were.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Get these actors, no one knows who they are, and they're really just completely perfect for these roles. Is a really kind of genius. So.
Yeah, I just love this movie so much, and it's weird that it snuck up on me. Usually when I see a movie, I know I like it a lot. But this one I liked. I thought it was fine. I might have been in a bad mood because I had a broken ankle when I went and saw it, but it was just a good – I just love it, and I watch it a lot. And it's just such a fun, happy movie. It's an overall great movie. So it's my number one.
My two.
All right. So let's do a rundown and let Ed get some sleep.
All right. My number 10 is The Incredible Hulk. My number 9 is Iron Man 2.
The Hulk. Hulk, thank.
Number 8 is Spider-Man 2. Number 7 is Captain America, The First Avenger. Then obviously my number 6 was The Punisher. Number 5, Doctor Strange. Number 4, Hulk. Number 3, Thor. Number 2, Iron Man. And number 1, The Avengers.
Very good. Ed?
I'm kind of shifting my thing. I think I'm gonna go with number 10 is Captain America, The First Avenger.
All right.
Number 9 is gonna be X-Men Origins Wolverine, for reasons discussed earlier. Number 8 is Iron Man 2. Number 7 is a movie that hasn't been mentioned yet, is X-Men First Class.
Not a fan, Ethan is.
Oh, I'm a big fan. Yeah.
It's an X-Men movie. So we've discussed that.
Yeah. Number 6, as mentioned before, Spider-Man 2. Number 5 is Blade 2. Number 4, The Avengers. Number 3 is X2. Number 2 is Iron Man. And number 1 is Thor.
Very good. And then my number 10, yeah, I always use my 10 to be a butthead, but my number 10 is X-Men 3, because I like the way that Dark Phoenix dies in that so much better than I liked in the comic, and yeah. So I got, and I kind of like some of the scenes.
The comic, she was vaporized by a laser
She got
cannon.
Shot with a laser cannon on the moon, and this one, Wolverine walked through a disintegration field, and it looked neat, and boom, and yeah. There's some other neat action moments, but overall I get why people don't like it. Number 9 is Captain America First Avenger, and boy did I like this one even less, watching it, you know, for a third time, and I liked it even less after watching the Avengers and seeing what Captain America should have been. There's so many great Captain America moments in the Avengers, and they weren't in the Captain America movie, and that's almost unforgivable.
I think part of the problem with the Captain America movie, I think, is making it appearances. I think that was kind of why.
Well, I don't know, maybe.
They kind of, because all, they should have split it in half and had half World War II, half modern day. They kept it all World War II. And I think the Avengers is more interesting because they brought him forward to the modern day, and that's what, you know, that's what most people know as Cap.
Yeah.
It definitely makes me look forward to Captain America 2.
Yeah. My thing, and, you know, I've noticed it watching it this weekend, but, this movie is, I like it quite a bit until he becomes Captain America. After that, it's kind of fun, and the movie completely falls apart for me when Bucky dies. Not because Bucky dies, that's just when I just don't care about it anymore. But, so my number 8 was Captain America. Number 9 is Captain America. My number 8 was Iron Man 2. It's one that nobody likes except for me. I
like it just fine.
I like it a lot. It's Iron Man 2. That's my review for it. Our friends at the Bag to Boardcast complain that's nothing but a trailer for the Avengers. I disagree with that. I think it's the natural progression with the characters. I like Mickey Rourke. I do like War Machine. Unfortunately, Adam, not a fan of Terrence Howard. I'm not a fan of him. But overall, I do like that movie a lot.
The movie. It was Don Cheadle, though.
That's what I'm saying, is I did like Don Cheadle, but I'm not a fan of... I'm opposite of you on that one. I'm not a fan of Don Cheadle at all. So, I like... I'm sorry. God damn it. I'm not a fan of Howard at all, but I am a fan of Don Cheadle. And my number 7 is a weirdo, but I wanted to put it in here anyway. It's Iron Man Extremis, the motion comic. Because I like motion comics when they're done well, and that one was done well.
Yeah.
So I liked watching. And then the list I already went over was number 6, Blade 2. Number 5, Doctor Strange. Sorcerer Supreme. Number 4, X-Men Origins Wolverine. Number 3, The Avengers. Number 2, Iron Man. My number 1 favorite Marvel movie is Thor the Mighty. And that's going to bring us an end to our list where we're discussing our favorite of the Marvel movies. Stay tuned, we're going to be right back with the outro section. Let me throw a mark in here, Ed, and we'll just jump right into it and get you out of here, all right?
Okay. And then you'll go back and you'll do we do an intro for the beginning, or?
Didn't we introduce him? Yeah, we introduced you in the,
We introduced you in the top 10.
Yeah, we'll just say, you know, when we come back, Ed Douglas from comingsoon.net is going to be here. We'll do that. Okay, I threw a mark in there, and we are back. We just had a discussion, pretty much in honor of the Avengers really knocking it out of the park this weekend and becoming a very profitable movie. But we talked about our favorite of the Marvel movies, and we also let Fox and whoever else in there. I made up for a good list. It's kind of cool that, you know, a lot of these fell about the same way for a lot of us. We had a lot of crossovers. We all liked Iron Man. Mars was our number 2. I think him and I both put our only, you know, animated one at the exact same spot. That was kind of weird. And
number 5.
We all kind of liked the Avengers to varying degrees, and it makes sense. You know, because Ethan's a big Marvel boy. I'm just a movie guy. And, you know, Ed is a film critic, and so he has to look at all that stuff. So he's going to like it a little bit less than us, and that's fine. But overall, the movie worked, and it's a good movie. And I'm glad it came out, and, you know, I have nothing but... I love Joss Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
Does good stuff. But that is what we had to do for that one. Ed, do you have anything to add before we let you go?
Oh, not really, except for that, you know, that we have 3 more, possibly more Marvel movies in the way, and so...
Mm-hmm. Should be good.
Now we've got...
We're off a good start. So.
We've obviously got... They've announced Captain America 2, Thor 2, Iron Man 3, and then they've got a placeholder for a fourth movie in... 2015 or something like that, but they don't have a name for it. They haven't said what it is yet.
Shield.
Not
Hawkeye.
It's not Ant-Man.
No.
No, it's not Ant-Man.
Not Ant-Man.
I think it's the Nick Fury movie. I think that Nick Fury movie.
I would watch the hell out of a Nick Fury movie.
I still want to see a Doctor Strange movie.
I do too.
It would just be fantastic.
Get all of it. I want to see a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie so I can see more Hawkeye, because I love archery and cool-looking archery in a movie. But it should be good. Thank you very much for being on, Ed, especially for such short notice. It's always fun, and you were the first person that came to my mind when I decided we were going to talk some Marvels.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, it's good having you on. But until next time, this is Aaron.
This is Ethan.
Make yours Marvel.
Poor Peter Parker was pitiful. Couldn't have been any shyer. Mary Jane still wouldn't notice him, even if his hair was on fire. Lab, that mutated spider came down. Oh, and now Peter crawls over everyone's walls, and he's swinging all over town. La la la, lady down. La la, lady la. Sling us a web tonight, 'cause we're all in the mood for a hero now, and there's evildoers to fight. Now Harry the rich kid's a friend of his, who horns in on Mary Jane. But to his great surprise, it seems she prefers guys who can kiss upside down in the rain. With great power comes great responsibility. That's the catchphrase of old Uncle Ben. If you missed it, don't worry, they'll say the line again and again and again. La la diddy da, la la diddy da da da. Now Norman's a billionaire scientist who never had time for his son. But then something went screwy, and before you knew, he was trying to kill everyone. And he's right. Throwing that weird pumpkin bomb. Yes, he's wearing that dumb Power Rangers mask, but he's scarier without it on. Sling us the web, you're the Spider-Man. Sling us the web tonight, 'cause you're brave and you're strong and so limber now, but where'd you come up with those tights? It's a pretty sad day at the funeral. Norman Osborn has bitten the dust, and I heard Harry said he wants Spider-Man dead. Ah, but his buddy Pete he can trust. Oh, and MJ is all hot for Peter now. Ah, but Peter he just shuts her down. Mary Jane, don't you cry, you can give it a try again when the sequel comes round. La la diddy da da dum.
cast was cut by Uncool Aaron.